Mark 12:29. Jesus answered and said, "The first of all commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' This is the first commandment." As I mentioned, I want to start a series on loving God with all our heart. This first one is, of course, an introduction. So it's good to see everyone out this evening. We have visitors again. We appreciate you being with us. And we will go ahead and jump into the lesson. So what is the most important question that you have ever been asked? During Jesus' ministry on the earth, a religious man asked him to name one commandment of all of God's commandments that was first or most significant. This is the same as asking, what is the most important thing in the world? So in verse 28, one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment.'" He then immediately linked that commandment with another commandment in verse 31. And the second, like it, is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There's no other commandment greater than these." So loving God plays a large part in our religion, in our relationship with Him, in being pleasing to God. Loving God as He instructs us to, and obeying God. And that's different than how the world looks at loving God, and just love God and everything will be fine. The scribe who asked this question replied that he agreed with Jesus' answer, saying that to love God wholeheartedly and to love your neighbor as yourself is more than all the burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus responded by telling him, "You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're on the right track." From this conversation, we see that entering God's kingdom and living according to that kingdom is, in essence, a matter of the heart. The most important thing that we can do is love God with our entire being. Well, what is the heart? Physically speaking, it's the central organ of the human body. The heart in our body is to circulate the blood throughout the whole body, pumping oxygen, nutrients to other parts of the body, pulling toxins away from them. And if the heart stops beating permanently, life ends. The life is indispensable. The heart is indispensable. We cannot live without a heart. We cannot live physically without a heart. And our body is designed to safeguard this organ. For example, in extremely cold conditions, what happens? Your fingers start feeling numb, cold, your toes start feeling numb. The blood begins to retract from the extremities in order to maintain the integrity of the heart. The heart is designed to keep us alive. We have another heart, though, and that's what our study is going to be focusing on, and that's the center of our spiritual being. The scriptures say, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So a human being is a spirit that has a soul that lives in a physical body. The heart of the Bible is the moral seat of humanity and consists of the mind, the will, and the emotions. The word heart appears hundreds of times in the Bible. And as I mentioned Wednesday night, when I was copying the verses from the New Testament, just with the verses with heart, I had like 10 pages of verses that had heart. The next day, I thought I'm going to copy all the verses that have heart from the Psalms. And I came up with like another 10 pages of verses that deal with the heart. But we don't talk about it much. We don't talk about it much. The word heart, again, appears hundreds of times in the scriptures. The Old Testament, the Hebrew word liba is what is used, and this means the heart as the most interior organ. It's also used figuratively for feelings, the will, even the intellect. So figuratively, these terms refer to the inner being of humans, our very core, including our feelings, desires, wills, and intellect. When we come to the New Testament, there's a different word, cardia, which is, in a figurative sense, indicates the thoughts and feelings of the mind. It's the catalyst for our desires, our motives, our intentions, our actions. A desire is a strong wish, a wish for something. A motive is something as a need or desire that causes a person to act. An intention is the person, an intention is the thing that you plan to do or achieve, an aim or purpose. So cardia, have you ever seen this word? So Carol and I were watching TV the other day and a commercial came on and I said, I've got to use that for the sermon. Have you seen this commercial? Cardiamobile.com. This guy grabs people off the street. Come here, you got to try this. And all you have to do is put your fingers on there and it'll test your heart. It only costs $79. And I remember that because I've seen that commercial so many times. It only costs $79. You put your fingers on there and it'll tell you all about your heart. And I'm guessing they sell thousands and tens of thousands of these because people want to know the condition of their heart. And it's so easy to take with you. Cardia mobile. You can carry it anywhere. Do we have anything like that? I hope you understand. We've got a cardia mobile right here. When we want to know what our heart is like, we can open this up and look into this book and tell what condition our heart is in. Tell what condition our inner man is. Another term the Bible uses to refer to the heart is the inner man. That God would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. See, we can look, and we do look at people, and we judge them based on what we see them doing, what we hear them saying, where we see them going, but we don't know their inner man. That's the heart that God looks at, is the inner man. Again, the heart is the core, the identity of the human being. It's the most complex, most sacred, intimate part of a person. You want to get to know the heart of somebody. You might be around them for years and never learn that. You might be around them just a few days, a few hours, and you get to know their heart. The foundation of the whole being and character from which is desires, designs, purposes, wills, thoughts, and attributes originate is from the heart. The heart is key, and that's why I said a study of the heart is so important. Our whole life revolves around it. So accordingly, the condition of our heart will be the condition of our life. The state of our spiritual heart affects all the aspects of our daily living. Every spiritual, mental, emotional matter, any physical ones, is rooted in the heart. And again, it's like We talk about the kind of eyes we have and talk about different colored glasses, rose-colored glasses. You look through rose-colored glasses and everything is going to look rose-colored. You look through blue glasses, everything's going to look blue. The kind of heart that we look through life at is going to determine how we see life and what kind of life we have. So one of the other terms that we hear a lot about our heart is heart healthy. We need to be heart healthy. You see that on commercials. You see that in the store. Heart healthy, it's a popular phrase today. We hear it from doctors, from nutritionists, fitness instructors, food manufacturers who want to encourage us to pursue a lifestyle of wellness that will strengthen our cardiovascular endurance, prevent heart disease, promote long life. We're encouraged to choose a healthy lifestyle, a heart healthy. There's all kinds of resources for heart healthy cookbooks, diets, restaurant options. And again, we see that being a billion dollar industry for a physical heart. And how much do we invest into our spiritual heart? Our spiritual heart that's going to determine where we spend eternity. With the American Heart Association, they even have a symbol for an approved heart healthy product. American Heart Association certified meets criteria for heart healthy food. That would be good if we had one for sermons today. Is this a heart healthy sermon? Sometimes a lot of things that we put into our body is going to have an adverse effect on our physical heart. Sometimes a lot of things that we put into our spiritual heart is going to have an adverse effect on our heart. So every spiritual, mental, emotional matter, many physical ones, is rooted in the heart. The scriptures encourage us to have a heart healthy spiritual lifestyle, gaining God's seal of approval on our heart. We go to a doctor, go to a primary doctor, go to a cardiologist. They give us instructions what to eat, what to do. They want us to do something that they will give us their approval. Sometimes we do that, sometimes we don't. Sometimes we listen to them, sometimes we don't. And it's the same with God. He has given us a diet that he wants us to use, a diet to eat, to feed on his word. The diet and exercise. The cardiologist is going to tell you to walk so many minutes a day. Eat this, don't eat that. God gives us instructions in this cardiomobile of what to put in, what to ingest, and how to exercise. What to do? How do we exercise as the life of a Christian? So we need to have a steady diet of God's word and to exercise specific spiritual principles and commands related to our heart. It doesn't do any good to take God's word and ingest it, put it into us, and then not exercise it. When he says to do this and we don't do this, that's not going to help our heart. What comes out of the heart? How would Jesus, the great physician, assess the current condition of your heart, of my heart? The scripture juxtaposes two fundamental conditions of the human heart: a heart that has a good treasure and a heart that has an evil treasure. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Luke 6:45. What we put in is what's going to come out. So this chart just to try to consolidate what I've said so far, to lay out some foundation for this, our heart and our mind are inseparable. Our heart and our mind, when we look at what the Bible talks about our heart and our mind, we are to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are to love God with all of our mind, with all of our emotions, with all of our will. That's the exercise part of it. And again, our heart is made up of feelings, of our will. We have free choice. We can choose to obey. We can choose to disobey. We have the choice of making the right choice that's going to give us life. We have the choice of making the wrong choice that's going to give us death. We have desires. We have emotions. And again, one of the reasons I think this is key is because it's so hard to get people outside of the church to understand what they need to do to be saved and to be pleasing to God. They think all you have to do is love God and you're going to heaven. God wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. And when we do that, then that manifests itself in our life. That's part of the exercise. Our life manifests what we put into our heart. Again, the Bible speaks of a good heart and an evil heart. And this is a law. This is a law. It's just like the law of gravity. If I take my Bible and I drop it, what's going to happen? It's going to hit the floor. What if I do it again? It's going to hit the floor. What if I do it 10 times? It's going to hit the floor 10 times. What if I did it 100 times? It's going to hit the floor 100 times. It's a law. It's a predictable law. It's an unchangeable law. I can never drop my Bible and it floats up to the ceiling. It's a physical law. And God's spiritual laws are predictable and they are unchangeable. But we don't always believe that. We think, okay, God says don't do this, don't go there, don't do this, but that's not going to happen to me. The consequences aren't going to happen to me. And see, Satan deceives us. We think that if he says don't do it and I do it, I'm going to float up to the top instead of drop down to the bottom. And these things, these treasures show what's in our heart and how our heart is in relation to God. I saw this. This is kind of an academic discussion so far, and I hope you're understanding where I'm going with this, but I'll just give you a real simple illustration. So I saw a photo this week, and it was of a man fishing. And it said there are two reasons that a man goes fishing. Either he doesn't have a wife to go home to, or he has a wife to go home to. Either one of those reasons will work because he loves to go fishing. He'll go fishing anytime, anywhere he gets the opportunity. As soon as he gets home, he'll talk about the next time he can go fishing. Why? Because he loves to go fishing. That's what's in his heart. That's what's on his mind. 2 weeks ago, we went to Columbus on a Friday afternoon, and it was raining, and somewhere along on Route 70, I looked over, and there was a golf course, and there were guys out playing golf in the rain. Why were they playing golf in the rain? Because they love to play golf. And I'm not going to call them crazy because I like working in the yard. And if it's starting to rain, that doesn't stop me. I just put something on and go out and work in the yard because I like working in the yard. That's what's in my heart. That's what's in my mind. and we are going to move in the direction of what's in our heart. So are we moving closer to God? Are we moving closer to His commands? Or are we moving farther away from God? We either have a good heart or an evil heart. So the heart with a good treasure is full of kindness, humility, purity, obedience, righteousness, spiritual strength. It has the ability to love, submit to, surrender to God in accordance with the purpose and will. The heart with evil treasure disbelieves God, is easily wounded, becomes offended, refuses to forgive, is full of disobedience, selfishness, ambition, and pride, and it has become hardened. When I look at that list for the evil heart, it just reminds me of what I would call a little crybaby. They don't get their way. They yell and scream and stomp their feet. They're easily wounded, becomes offended, refuses to forgive, full of disobedience, selfish, ambitious, has pride. Their heart has become hardened. So we see too with our heart, this brings up another point. Our heart can be molded and shaped and formed, and it can be touched, it can be softened, and it can be hardened. And we've got to be careful of what we do, because if we let our heart become hardened, we can reach the point of no return, and then we just don't care, and we can't be pleasing to God at all. Have you ever thought about what type of treasure you're storing up in your heart? Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Matthew 6:21. Even as we grow, we manifest a mixture of good and evil treasure within us. We at times reveal the good treasure that's in us. Sometimes we reveal the evil treasure that's in us. Other times we manifest something else. This is a challenge that we face when we become a Christian. The Apostle James wrote about this, and where it's incompatible to have these two mixtures. He says, James writes in chapter 3, "With our tongue we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh." You see, we go back and forth, and we've got to limit that going back and forth. We've got to train our heart. We've got to train our heart, because we don't want to flip-flop. We don't want to be good one day and evil the next day. How does that happen? It's because we are not guarding our heart, not feeding our heart the right thing, not exercising our heart in the right way. The words that we say, including the ways that we express ourselves, communicate with others the nature of our heart in some way. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So again, just to make it plain and simple, how can you tell what's in somebody's heart? Well, you just spend a little time with them. You watch what they do, what they say. And it's sometimes people hide it, or they've learned to hide it. But you get around a child, and you know what's in that child's heart. And sometimes you'll just see that child run and jump up on mommy's lap or daddy's lap and give them a big hug and a kiss. And you know what's in their heart. They love their mommy. They love their daddy. And you see the mother, the father react in kind to the child. And that's what God wants us to be like. Children that figuratively run and want to jump up in his lap and hug him and kiss him and say, Father, we love you so much. We love you. I don't worry about a thing in the world because I've got so much love for you, and I know you love me so much. I don't need to worry about anything in the world. But you see, we've let our heart become affected by things in the world. We've let our heart become hardened. And then when we go to try to teach our family, our friends, what they need to do to be saved, their heart isn't even in the right frame of mind to accept what God wants to show them. Any action we take, whether it's good or evil, comes from a motivation or intention of our heart. This means that all the wrongdoing is conceived in the heart first. Jesus said, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil lie, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man. So where do wars come from? Where do wars come from? They come from the heart of man. They come from an evil heart. Out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness. It all originates in the heart. And that's why it is so important that we guard our heart. For example, if you have an arrogant attitude, it means that your heart still harbors arrogance. It doesn't reflect its true identity in Christ, who is humble in heart. So we have a conflict of the natures. Christ was humble. We need to have a heart like Christ and be humble. Someone may do something or wrong us, and we become arrogant and want to strike back. We need a heart that reflects the nature of the heart of Christ. We need a heart that reflects the nature of God. Likewise, if you have an attitude of resentment or anger, you prove that your heart is wounded and bitter. You may feel the need to protect yourself from being hurt again, so you lash out at others. What did Jesus say? If someone slaps you on your cheek, to slap him back? No, he said to turn the other cheek. He is teaching to control our emotions, control our heart, and that will control our actions. Now, that does not mean that we do not have avenues to address wrongs. When Paul was charged wrongly under Roman law, he appealed to the law for protection. But we need to let God, we need to let those things that are lawful run their course instead of taking vengeance into our own hands. Just think about Christ. He came and he had a heart that was willing to give up everything to come down and die for me, who was his enemy, because my heart wasn't right. My heart broke his heart because of the sins that I've committed. What if Christ had that attitude that some of us have? Well, I'm not going to do anything for that person. I'm not going to do anything for them. Christ didn't have that kind of heart. We might be insensitive to the needs of our family, we might be insensitive to the human pain around us. And it shows then that we have a hardened heart. We need to keep our heart sensitive. When I did the lesson last week about I've seen your tears, and I said we have too much dry-eyed religion, we need to be able to cry. We need to have a heart that can be touched by pain. We need to have a heart that can be touched by sin. And if we aren't, if we see things that are evil, that are wrong, and we aren't touched, friends, we need to take a serious inventory before Christ comes back or before we die. You may wonder, how can I love God to the extent that I commit my whole being, my heart, soul, mind, and strength, when my heart is in the condition that it is, when it flip-flops back and forth? We know that generally the condition of our physical heart determines the health of our body. You go in for a routine checkup, they're going to do all kinds of tests on your heart rate, your blood pressure, to determine your overall health and to discover if there's any problem. And they may advise us to make adjustments to our diet or to get more regular exercise. We listen and we say, okay. Friends, again, that's in the physical world. God advises us to adjust our diet and to get some spiritual exercise. When someone is admitted to the hospital, they start taking your vital signs. They monitor the electrical activity of your heart. Determines whether it is consistent with your age and everything else, or if not. In a similar way, we need to regularly assess the condition of our spiritual heart. Maintaining a healthy heart before God is a matter of vigilance. We must monitor the operations of the most inmost being and evaluate whether we are living according to the life and purposes of our Heavenly Father or of our own. The book of Proverbs tells us, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life," Proverbs 4:23. Here, in the same verse, in two other translations, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life." Everything in life comes from the heart. The word translated "keep" or "guard" or "watch over" includes the idea of protecting and maintaining. How much do we do that? We do that with our physical heart. Ever since I had COVID pneumonia, I had to start going to a cardiologist. And one of the things he told me to do is to check my blood pressure every day. That's one of the first things I do when I get up in the morning. I check my blood pressure. I know where it should be. I know if it gets out of a certain range, I need to step back and calm down and make some changes. And how often do we check our heart, our blood pressure, with God's Word? When's the last time we did it? Or do we think that coming to a service for a few minutes a week, again, we can check that off, went to the doctor's office, don't have to go back there for another year, went to church on Sunday, don't have to go back there till next Sunday. Friends, what kind of heart are we going to have? Is that the kind of heart that God's going to be happy with? Is that the kind of heart that a father wants his child to have? The verb monitor means to watch, observe, listen to, check for a special purpose over a period of time. Again, monitoring our heart is an ongoing process. It's something we should do willingly for the purpose of becoming more like the Father. God wants us to love Him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our Father wants His children to become like Him so that we manifest His attributes to others. After stating the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? The scriptures say, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." So if we aren't checking our heart, we know that Christ is. God knows us completely. Therefore, when we become aware of a problem in our heart, whether through reading his word or someone pointed it out to us, we must address it so that we can lead a joyful and productive lives before God and maintain that close relationship with him. Only if we are spiritually healthy can we be alert and ready to respond correctly to the issues of life. There's, you know, with what's going on in the world right now, a term that's been out there the last couple years is prepping, being prepared. We want to be prepared for whatever comes along out there, whatever disaster, whatever calamity, whatever war, we want to prep and be prepared. Well, friends, how about the spiritual battle that we are in? Are we preppers? Are we preppers with our spiritual life? Are we prepared for what might come down the pike? So let's look at a larger context of the verse. My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. So one of the keys to guarding our heart is to put God's word into our heart. That's one of the purposes of our memory workbook, so that we can put those verses that are going to help us, going to keep us safe in our heart. When Jesus was tempted, how did he respond? Did he perform some miracle? No, he said, "It is written, it is written." So note that there are some specific criteria by which we are to oversee our heart. In Proverbs 4, it's encouraged a son to keep his father's words in heart to obtain wisdom and understanding. And that way, he would develop a righteous man. It is only when we keep God's word in our heart and follow his commandments and wisdom that our heart will produce a wellspring of life. Friends, our heart is the most important, crucial thing. When that scribe asked, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that man that asked that question, was he happy with the answer? He said, I've kept all the laws. He went on and talked about that. And there are certain things in our life that we just don't want to give up. And friends, whatever that thing is that stands between us and God is going to keep us out of heaven. Proverbs 4 also says, the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. So our heart determines the path of our life. Therefore, it is our most precious possession and our most crucial resource. The condition of our heart will be the condition of our life. If we have problems with our heart, again, we have this cardiomobile right here that lets us know where our heart is not like it should be and how to correct it. This book lets us know how we can be pleasing to the Father. Aren't you glad that someone asked Jesus, what is the greatest commandment, even though Moses said it thousands of years before that? Aren't you glad that someone asked Jesus, just so we know for sure what the greatest commandment is and all the instructions that we have, so that we can watch over our heart, guard our heart, and that we can have a heart pleasing to God? Friends, if there's anyone this evening that needs to make their heart right with God, you have sin in your life, you need prayers, you need to confess things that you have, if we can assist you in any way, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.